All right, so the instruction given to each tonight was to be brief. I'm giving a little more leeway to Ben. He's going to come first, and he's going to give a brief report on the speakers of the week. So there's preaching every night and all day on the Lord's Day as well. So he'll give kind of an overview of that and the things that were of encouragement to him. He will try to impart that in some brief fashion to you. So I don't know how many messages, a lot of messages, 8 or so, whatever it is, it's a lot to pack in. And then Anthony will give a report as a counselor, as a lead counselor this year. Gavant then will come and give, again, perspective as a new staff member, as well as whatever else the Lord would have her share with you tonight. And then we'll have her brother Brad Carper come and speak as the director of the activities and the things that he wants to leave before you before the end. I will just finish off with some remarks from, I'll leave that to the end. So without further ado, one after the other, Ben, Anthony, Gavant, Brad, come in that order, please. Thank you.
Good evening. This was my first time back to camp in 6 years. But I remembered how much I enjoyed it this year. And there's many great things about camp. You know, the activities are fun, really enjoyable and great. Getting to know people, even in this church, you know, we see them twice a week, maybe 3 times a week. But you don't really get to know somebody at that level. And when you're with them all week, especially if you're in the same room with them, rooming, right, Caleb and Luke? But you really get to know people on a different level, and I appreciate that. But one of the things that we'll all take with us is the Word of God that we heard this week. And we studied the book of Philippians. And if you want to turn there, if you want to turn to the book of Philippians and try to keep up, I'm going to try to be brief, but I'll give you the text that each speaker had as their text, and you can follow along if you'd like. So we started off on Sunday morning for Sunday school. Derek Bowman from the North Carolina church gave us an overview of the book of Philippians. And the thing that stuck out to me here was that the Philippians were proud of their Roman citizenship. And Paul emphasizes in the book that the real citizenship, the citizenship that we should take seriously and that we should pour into is our citizenship in heaven. And he talked a little bit about patriotism. And the thing that we should be looking for is our citizenship in heaven. And he pointed out some lessons that the book teaches. Learning to live like Christ, learning Christian perseverance, and learning to rejoice in the gospel. And I think as we walk through some of these messages, you'll see those themes touched upon. Sunday morning worship was Pastor Jeff Bannister from the Indianapolis church. And his text was Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And he asked a real piercing question at the beginning of his message. He asked, what dominates your heart? And that gave me something to think about really all week. What is it that dominates my heart? Is it Christ? And he really emphasized that our love needs to be growing. Our love for the Lord, our love for others needs to be something that we're intentionally pursuing and that's growing. And how is that to grow? Well, one, by knowing its nature. You have to see the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It's not a tolerance for anything like our world would want us to believe now. It's not only emotionalism, but that love of Christ is truth. It's a care, yes, but it's combined with truth, and it's combined with discernment. And so we learn that by knowing the nature of love and seeing that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday evening was Pastor Myron Mooney, and his text was chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and really talked about Christ's example of humility. And the focus of his message was on the need to love others, because Christ loved us. Christ, this perfect, sinless Savior, loved us, just the failures and sinners. And how much more, he made the comment, how much more, if Christ loved us, should we love those that are our equals? Those that are sinners like us. And if you know Pastor Mooney, he's a man that loves other people. And he just challenged us at the end to think intentionally about how to love others. How can we make it? He asked the question, how can we make each other's lives better? How can you make someone's day better? And that is something we can take to heart. Our pastor, Pastor Tomassian, preached on Monday evening, and his challenge was, where is your confidence? His text was chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And we learned later, a little bit later on in the week, that Philippians is really an autobiography of Paul. He speaks of himself a lot. And so Pastor Tomassian's first point is that Paul declared himself a pattern. If anyone could have been saved by self-righteousness, it was Paul. He had all of these privileges. And that's his second point, is that he declares his privileges. He was born a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had these inherited privileges, but he also earned them. He was zealous for the law. But then his third point is, he declares his priority. So he gives himself as an example, and he says, if anyone could earn salvation through self-righteousness, it was him. But he couldn't, and his priority is Christ. He said, I must bring to God what Christ has done, not what I have done. And the key text there is chapter 3, verse 9, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I did want to take a minute here to one of the funniest moments of the week. And I heard actually Mr. Kelsch, he mentioned an inside joke up here and right before the start of the message. I don't know if the rest of you caught that, but one of the funniest moments came during Pastor Tomassian's message, where there's a junior camp that runs concurrent with our camp on the same campgrounds, but it's on the opposite side. They use different facilities. Well, during Pastor Tomassian's message, the door of the chapel opens and a little head peeks in and looks around. And naturally, if you see a serious, you know, service going on, he walks in the room with flip-flops and goes clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-click all the way around the room to a big metal door on the other side, which he then proceeds to open, creak, and slam shut with a bang. And he disappeared for about 30 seconds. And then the door opens again, creak, bang. And he goes flippity-flippity-flip all the way around and disappears where he came from. And that became an inside joke the whole rest of the week. It was just a funny moment where somebody said after the service, Pastor, when that boy walked through, none of us heard what you had to say. Sorry. And Pastor Tomassian said, I don't know if I knew what I was saying when he was walking through. Anyway, Tuesday evening was Adam Eshelman from Reformation Bible Church in Maryland. And his question that he focused on is, what is the normal Christian life? And I thought that was really good to consider. You know, is my life the normal Christian life? Is your pastor's life the normal Christian life? What about your friends or an elder at church? And this is where this book of Philippians being an autobiography comes in. Paul sets himself up as divinely ordained, obviously inspired by God. He sets himself up as the pattern. What should a normal Christian life look like? We all have struggles, and sometimes we look around and we realize, does anybody else have the same struggles that I do? Do they struggle with sin? Do they struggle with relationships? Do they struggle with everything under the sun, you know, that we struggle with as human beings? So he moved on to the question, what's the chief business of the Christian life? And his text is chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. And I really thought he asked them some thought-provoking questions. He said about the Apostle Paul, was his main business writing scripture? Was it evangelism? Was it even contending for the faith or acts of service? And he said, no. Those were not the main business of Paul's life. His main business comes in chapter 3 and verse 10, and it's to know Christ. And then he pointed out, you know, this is the great Apostle Paul. How can we live up to his example? How can we make this our main focus and really, really shape our lives in this direction? And I thought, really good points that he talked about, forgetting what lies behind. And there's two things we have to forget. We have to forget our sin. You know, by trusting God's word about the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. And then we have to forget the sins of others against us. Just as we sin against others, we've been sinned against ourselves. And we cannot let ourselves wallow and stay stuck in the mire of what people have either done to us or what we've done in the past. We need to reach on and press forward to know Christ. Dr. Pollack was Wednesday evening, and he spoke on emotions. His text was chapter 4, 1 through 7. And his first point is that good, godly emotions are not natural. So you see these emotions that are mentioned, joy and reasonableness or gentleness, not being anxious. And those are not natural because of the broken world we live in. Our emotions are broken by sin. And so he talked about the gospel remedy for our emotions are found in Jesus Christ. And then his second point is because of the gospel, emotions are not uncontrollable. These are commands. Be joyful. Don't be anxious. Be reasonable. Be gentle. And so if Scripture commands obedience, then the natural implication is that these are commands that can be obeyed. You can control your emotions. And then his third point is that emotional health is possible. Since Christ came to do everything required to conform us to his image, good godly emotions can be cultivated through the power of the cross. Then Pastor Kimbrough from North Carolina preached on Thursday evening, and his text was really chapter 4 and verse 8. And he dealt with how thoughts impact how we handle life. We choose what thoughts we dwell on. And we must choose to dwell on thoughts that are true, thoughts that are pure, thoughts that are honorable. And he talked about avoiding anything that pulls us away from this type of thinking. And he actually quoted Dr. Cairns. Dr. Cairns had a quote, "When evaluating the will of God, ask, would it better my relationship with Christ?" And I thought that was a good quote to leave the young people with. So I hope that these thoughts, even in summary form, can be a blessing to you. And I would ask that you pray for the campers that they would be found in him, in Christ. And that the ones that are in Christ, that they would be able to forget what lies behind and not be distracted, but press on to know Christ. And may that be true of each one of us tonight as well. Thank you.
Well, also good evening. So I don't know if I've ever actually publicly disagreed with anything said from the pulpit. But on Sunday night, Armin made a comment about the counselors in the cabins really having to sacrifice to be in there with the guys. They're giving up the softer beds, all the air conditioning, the comforts. And personally, I'd like to disagree.
That's a perspective of an old Bible.
Maybe. For now. I wasn't going to comment on that. But for me, it's always been a privilege to be in there with the guys. The only role I've ever functioned on as staff at our camp has been in the cabins, whether as an assistant counselor or these past 2 years as a counselor. And I've been coming to camp since 2008 when I was 12. And so camp has always been this wonderful place where you can set aside the distractions of life and the other concerns that you might have and focus on God's word. And you can see him work in pretty particular and amazing ways. So the cabins have always been a great place for me. I've had fantastic memories from counselors I've had as a camper and great memories from the guys we've had there. So Armin, if you ever want the privilege of being in a cabin, you are welcome to join mine. But we do appreciate your prayers for the staff and for the counselors in particular. As we're in there with the cabins dealing with the weird smells, some diffusing awkward situations, and working with the guys there and sharing our lives with them and learning more about them as they share their lives. There are two verses that always come to mind when I think of our camp ministry. The first is 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And the second is 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." And as Armin mentioned in both his sermon at camp and his devotional to the staff, Paul is setting himself up as a pattern for others to follow. And us as staff, we, in much a similar way, are a pattern for those kids to follow. I don't claim to be a Paul. I don't think any of us ever will. But we do exert an incredible amount of influence over the young men and women there. And being in the cabins for me has always been a great time to get to know the guys and hopefully have a positive influence on them for the gospel. So camp has been a place where I've seen God work, and even before I've been at camp, God has been working. This year, Ernie Yarbrough from our Alabama church was in the cabins with me, and he shared his testimony with the guys. And one part about his testimony I didn't know is that God saved him while he was at camp as a kid. And he said the person that he was on the van going up was wildly different from the person that was going on the van going down. So I wanted to share just one quick story with you guys that actually starts last year and continues on through this year. God has worked in the past, but he is still working today. Last year, I came across one camper. It was his first year at camp, and I always try and be friendly with the new campers in particular, try and make them feel welcome. It's a new place, new people. And over the course of the week, we would hang out, play games, you know, just talk, get to know each other. And it got to the Thursday night, which, you know, they do like hayride and some fun games for the kids. And I could tell on Thursday, this guy, there was just something heavy weighing on him. Whereas the rest of the week, he seemed to be in a pretty chipper disposition. And so I had a chance and I said, hey, what's going on? You don't seem like yourself today. And he said, oh, it's just that I have my dad on my mind today. And he died 8 years ago. And I said, 8 years ago? When 8 years ago? And he said, 8 years ago today. And he's at camp. Now, y'all know my family's background. Of all the staff people that he could talk to, of all the campers that God could bring across my path, do you think it's an accident that that one was brought into my life? I don't believe in accidents. And so we were able to discuss this unique mutual experience that we had both had, the loss of our fathers, in a way where I'm not sure anyone else at camp would have been able to discuss on the same level and appreciate where he was coming from. And so over the course of that evening, we were able to talk about our life experiences in a very practical way. But it also led for a very easy way for me to share the gospel about that. Even though I've lost my father, I have a hope for the future. So that's last year. And this year, I already knew when Friday rolls around, that's the day. And so it became incredibly easy for me to notice the signs when I can see it weighing on this camper, because I know it's 9 years that day. And so even through my conversations with this young man, he remains unsaved. He does not believe that he is a Christian. But things like that don't happen on accident. So God has worked in the past, and he is still working, even this year. But even though God works, the devil still works. I know Ben mentioned the kid that interrupted Armin's sermon. We call him Green Shirt Flip Flops Kid. And the reason I bring him up in particular is, one, it was very interesting that it happened. It was incredibly distracting. But in the morning chapel services that Dr. Pollock would do with the young men, they were going through the four different kinds of grounds in the parable. And one kind of ground is the ground where the seed falls by the wayside and it's snatched up by the devil and it doesn't implant at all. Right? Before it has any impact, it's gone. And he used the example of that's exactly what happened when Green Shirt Flip Flops Kid walked in. That seed was stolen. And he asked, did any of you guys hear what Pastor Armin was saying when that kid walked in? And they all said no. But I actually did, for the most part. And it was the exact moment that Armin was making a personal appeal for the gospel, saying, is Christ your Savior? And applying it to the kids in particular, instead of treating it more on a theory doctrine level. And that's the moment the innocuous junior camper walks in and starts making the distraction. And so, despite the devil working, I thought that even that example could be presented so clearly in front of the guys, that there is a battle here for their souls. So camp, I said, has always been a fantastic time, but it's just such a small window into the lives of these young men and women. We have a week out of their year, and only their teenage years, to interact with them, to have a positive influence on them. And these campers, they're going to be growing up, they're going to be graduating from high school, and they're going to be moving on with their lives. And very soon, they're going to be out from under the authority of their parents, to where they can be whatever kind of man or woman they want to be. And it is my hope and prayer that if even just one conversation from camp, one message from camp, one interaction with a staff member from camp could be influential in their lives to guide them to be a godly young man or woman of character, even to be brought to salvation, then all the times in the cabin where it smells weird or there are difficult situations will have been worth it 1,000 times over. So we thank you so much for all of your prayers, for all the staff, no matter where they function. And we're looking forward to next year, and we covet your prayers in advance. Thank you.
Hi. So this was my first time coming back to camp for 10 years. I actually went as a camper in 2012. And through a series of all kinds of different things that happened, I just didn't end up going back. And so coming back as a new staff member was really eye-opening for me. It was a lot of fun. But before I actually went to camp, I asked a lot of different people what their favorite memories were of camp. I was just trying to kind of glean some information and kind of figure out what I was walking into. And across the board, no matter who I asked, whether it was staff or campers or people who had gone a long time ago, they all said the people were their favorite part of camp. No matter when they went or how long ago it had been, it was the people that they remembered that stuck out to them. And honestly, that was the case for me too. And we talked on the bus ride back about how it changes your perspective so much when you see people in a different place than you're used to seeing them. You know, you see people at church on Sunday, and that's the perspective that you have of them. But then you see a pastor in a t-shirt and gym shorts, and it changes your perspective. But after being away for so long, honestly, all those good memories started coming back to me. And I didn't see Hannah Allison in here tonight at all, but she was my counselor when I went to camp in 2012, and I just have so many good memories of her and the influence that she had on me. But I had a cabin of older girls. I actually was an assistant counselor. Andrea Ellen Peters was our lead counselor. She goes to the Reformation Bible Church, where Lois and Miles go to church. But she and I really connected. We had a lot of fun. We're both teachers, so I'm sure our girls were a little tired of that by the end of the week with our teacher voices and everything. But, no, we had a lot of fun. We made a lot of memories. And one of the reasons why I mentioned Hannah was actually, it's funny, when I was a camper, we had a mouse problem in our cabin. And I had never heard of that ever happening, like any other year, except that year. And then I went back this year, and lo and behold, we had mice in our cabin. But we turned it into a lot of fun. I mean, we made a lot of memories chasing mice and catching them, and we even made it part of our cabin cleanup. And it ended up being a good experience, but I just think it's really funny that that happened twice, so maybe it's me. But we did have quite a lot of fun. However, these 13 girls in my cabin, they came with a lot of burdens, a lot of things that they shared throughout the week. And I think the biggest one was really that a lot of them were that age where they were graduating from high school, and they didn't really know, a lot of them, what they were going to be doing next. And so it was weighing on a lot of their hearts throughout the week. And we talked a lot about the future and about how we don't always know what our future is going to look like, but we know that the Lord holds our future and that He guides us. And it was neat for me, as somebody who graduated in 2020 and did not have a job and was walking through COVID and not really knowing what I was doing with my future, to be able to talk with them about that and to be able to encourage them that the Lord does have a plan for you, and even if you don't know it right now, He's going to lead you and He's going to guide you. And so we had a lot of good conversations about that. During camp, as Ben mentioned, we focused on the book of Philippians, and we walked through the different chapters each evening. And then the devotionals also talked about Paul. We actually walked through Acts as part of those devotionals in the morning and talked about when Paul was converted. And so being able to talk about that and how Paul's whole trajectory in life changed that moment that he met Jesus was, I think, eye-opening for those girls, because they were able to see that your life can change so quickly and you don't have to know it all right now. So that really facilitated a lot of good conversations. Also, one other really good memory that I want to share with you that was just really funny. On Wednesday night, we have like a fun night, and the theme for this week was the carnival, and so we had a fun carnival theme, and everybody was dressed up, and it was a whole lot of fun. But Ben and I were running the prize table, and we ended up, so the kids have to turn in tickets to get prizes, and Ben had the brilliant idea that we should make them barter with us for their prizes. And so just the looks on their faces when we were going back and forth with them was pretty priceless. A lot of them didn't know what bartering was or how to do it, but it was a lot of fun. It made for some good memories with the kids. But I want to end with leaving you with Philippians 1, verses 6 through 10, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So a lot of seeds were planted in the lives of these campers this week, and I just really encourage you to pray for them as they make big decisions about their futures, both spiritually and their actual futures, what they're going to be doing in life. A lot of them are at a really crucial stage, and I know that they value your prayers. So thank you.
I did not know that I was going to be up here this evening. Armin had asked me to have several young people come and bring reports. And so I sat down in the back, and Mr. Wagner leans forward and he says, "Are you giving a report tonight?" And I said, "No." And he said, "That's good." And I said, "Why?" And he says, "You need a haircut." So if those of you who are giving reports saw me writing, I was not critiquing what you were saying. I was writing down stuff to say tonight, because I would have been prepared had I known that I was going to be standing here. The very first thing, I am the activities director at camp. That's my job. I keep all of the young people, excuse me, not just me. I had a staff of nine. Eight young men, and then Hannah Boggers from our North Carolina church. And so the 10 of us basically keep camp running during the daytime. Okay, that's our job. We have two team competitions, or a competition in the morning for the two teams, and then in the afternoon, we immediately after lunch, the afternoon competitions start. And we have five competitions in the afternoon. There are competition charts, flow charts, if you will, up on the wall. And depending upon if you sit anywhere near those charts, all the kids make their way to those charts to see what time their event is going to be, where they need to be, where, when, and all the rest of this. So it is a busy week for us on the activity staff. After everybody goes to bed, at 11 o'clock, lights out for the campers, that's when our work starts. And we get to bed maybe anywhere in between 1 o'clock and 1:30 in the morning. And that's when we get to bed every night, because we're just constantly making sure that the next day will run as smoothly as we can possibly make it, humanly speaking. I do want to thank you for your prayers for us. I will not go into any illustrations from past camps, but the Lord gave us safety all the way through. So every single one of our activities, no one was hurt, and so that was big. And while I'm on safety, I do want to mention that We had had a safe trip there and back, but everyone that went to camp had a safe trip to and from. And we do not take that for granted by any stretch, because there are so many vehicles on the road and all the rest. Alabama, it takes Alabama 2 days on the road to get there. So the Lord kept us all. One of the things that I like about camp is camp gives people the ability to exercise their God-given gifts. And sometimes they don't know what those gifts are. I mean, the way camp started back in 1993, I don't know if any of you older ones remember when we took that decision, but we took a decision back in, I think it was November 1993, and so Mr. Cairns came back and he said, "We have been offered a camp. Would you gentlemen be interested in a camp?" And so obviously they said yes. So we took a vote and it moved forward. Then as soon as that was over, Mr. Cairns looks at Mark Allison and he says, "Congratulations, you are a camp director." So immediately, poof, his future for a decade plus was sealed for him. So I went up to Mark and I told him, I said, I don't know what I can do. I've never worked with kids in my life, but if I can do anything, I'll be more than glad to help you. And he said, "You're the activities director." And then David Stair walked up to him later, I found out, and said the same thing. And he said, "You are the assistant director and you'll take care of all of our monies for us." So camp was launched that way. But I say that because I had no idea what my future would even begin to look like. I had no idea that the Lord had gifted me with the ability to even work at a camp, let alone this year it was 55 kids, but we've had up to 152 kids at camp. But now these young people are able to come to camp and they can find out what their gifts are. Anthony mentioned he enjoys being in the cabin. Anthony, I didn't tell you this, wherever you are. I used you as an example in our last meeting Friday night. And I said, the Lord has given us gifts and you could never pay Anthony Melsom enough money to come on the activity staff. He loves being in the cabins that much. And so undoubtedly, and again, I'm assuming that he had no idea when he started doing this years ago that the Lord had given him that gift to work with young people and then in the activity staff as well. This was our 29th year. It was not our 29th camp. Our camp in 2020 was set aside because of COVID, but this would have been our 29th year of camp, but it was really our 28th year. I had mentioned that we have afternoon competitions. I could go through all of them, but the one that I will highlight is the Bible quiz competition. It is very well accepted by the young people, and so we had quite a few teams, and what it all boiled down to were the two teams that came head to head on Friday night. We all assemble for the last meeting on Friday night, and then the two teams were from Reformation Bible Church, and so any way you look at it, our trophy went back to Reformation Bible Church. So that's a plug, young people, if you can. That's a hidden plug there for the Bible quiz, okay? And then one last thing. Every night, as I've already mentioned, on the activity staff, from 11 o'clock on, we are busy getting ready for the next day. This last Friday night, what we did was we had a meeting, and then we basically did what I have always heard it called, something called a hot wash, where you sit there, you go over what was good, what didn't go too well, and what can we do better. So we spent quite a bit of time doing that. In fact, once again, got to bed about 1:30 that night. But then I had Armin close. He was there in that meeting, and I had Armin close our week, the activity staff's week in prayer. So we really are grateful for all of your prayers all through that week. It is a blessing to every one of us that go. And for me personally, it is the best week of the entire year for me personally. So thank you for listening.
Turn, if you would, to Psalm 103. And as you turn there, I want to express gratitude to each one that spoke tonight. I think a very helpful synopsis of the week. I guess it is a little different when you get to see your pastor in t-shirt and shorts, and perhaps a slight competitive streak when he plays certain sports as well. It was good. It is good. It's good to spend the time that does deepen the relationship that you have with others. And I think we all came home just really grateful for the compliance of the young people. It's not perfect. I mean, you get young people into a room, into the same space. You know, at times there can be slight difficulties, personality, and so on. But really, this year was wonderful. Their behavior, for the most part, was very encouraging. Their attitude, even sitting in the services, how they listened to the word, was all very commendable. And we trust that God's word will not return void. Yeah, the kid with the green t-shirt and flip-flops, yeah, he'll ever go down in folklore, I think. You had to be there. You had to be there. Like, it was, you know, the preacher's coming to kind of the crescendo apex of the message, and then walks this. He's just totally lost. He was just clearly lost. Didn't know where he was meant to be and hadn't the sense not to walk into that room. But anyway, it was my third time being there. And I am one of the directors, along with Brad and Dr. Pollock. We function together just with any decisions and various things. For the most part, I step back. I don't have a whole lot of involvement. Brad and Dr. Pollock really carry the load of the burden of arrangement and organization and so on. But it takes time to bed in. And this year, I certainly felt much more at home in the environment. And it was a blessing to have Alyssa there as well, and to see her engage in that environment, which I know isn't exactly something that she is used to, being around all people that she doesn't know. But she did very, very well, and it was encouraging to see that as well. In the mornings, while Dr. Pollock is addressing the boys and Mrs. Mooney, she addresses the girls in the morning before the day's activities begin, just after breakfast. I have the staff in my presence, the bulk of them. And I went through Psalm 103 this year, just walked through this psalm. And I'm not going to preach tonight, but I just point out three things. It's just this three things for our encouragement before we come to prayer as we seek the Lord tonight. And to note, first of all, the consecration, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. There's a call to consecration. It's relevant for young people, the need to learn to give your life to Christ, to surrender your heart to Christ, to give all that you are to Christ. But every generation, in every stage of life, we struggle with this need to give ourselves so that all that is within us, our entire being, is given over to praising the Lord, living with an eye for His glory. We hope that our young people go back home and they go on with God and they endeavor to live a consecrated life for Christ. We know that there are tremendous challenges that they face. We're very aware of the fact that they they don't come from ideal scenarios always. Which brings us to the second point, the consideration. Verses 2 through 14, you have various things to consider. You see in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So then he brings matters to consider to light. "Forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies," so on and so forth. We brought out a number of matters. Verse 6, I recall, I made the point where it says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." And I just put in a reminder to the staff that we cannot tolerate bullying at any point. Any mistreatment of the young people, any mistreatment of anyone at camp is a poor reflection on our God. And so we are to step in for those that may be oppressed, those that may in some way be mistreated. That can happen. It certainly is very easy for that to happen, just as it does at school, sometimes even happens in church environment, certainly can happen at camp as well. We cannot tolerate that at all. So there are these various things to keep in mind, to consider. The Lord is merciful and gracious, verse 8. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And he progresses. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. These are tremendous considerations. These are gospel considerations that remind us of divine intervention, of God stepping into the affairs of men. And this really plays a central role in why we have the camp in the first place. These young people need to know that they can be forgiven their sins. I know that's so basic. Maybe you might say, why don't we deal with other themes and other things? And certainly other themes come up and other subjects are dealt with. But we never get away from these themes. Forgiveness. The compassion of our God who pities as a father. They may be coming from, and as I said to the staff, some may be coming from households where there is a lack of compassion, where the representation of the gospel, the representation of Christ is very harsh, where there isn't any real sense of pity or compassion. And so we try in the few days that we are given to reflect compassion. But there's also in this, we might say, a comparison. Consecration, consideration, comparison. Verse 15 and following starts comparing with man. "For as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of a field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Underlines our message on Sunday morning. Our life is so brief. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Poof, it's gone. But one thing remains. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness on the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So there are then this tremendous comparison, this distinction that there is between God and his works and man, and even then the expression to praise, to bless, again going back to the theme that he commenced with, verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels," and so on and so forth. And he comes back then to the same point, verse 22, "Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Religion, the Christian religion, must be personal. A true knowledge of God must be personal. And that's where we want to place an emphasis each and every time we gather for camp. That these young people themselves have made their peace with God. They know the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. They have a profession of faith with substance, and have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just they're in the environment where others bless the Lord, because that's certainly true for most of them, but they are able to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. I bless the Lord." So may the Lord indeed bless his word. And thank you sincerely for your prayers. A sincere thank you to Brad and to the various members of staff, activity staff, counselors, and everyone that went from this congregation, even to Mrs. Knutson as well, for her help. Not that she was there with the week, but without her we couldn't really do it in the arrangements as well. So thank you sincerely. We look forward that next year we might have the Canadians back with us. We miss their presence. Still not joined with us since COVID started a couple of years back. So we look forward that next year that may change, but we need to pray, and we will pray tonight for the rising generation. But before we do that, we're going to sing our camp hymn, Nearer, Still Nearer, and we'll sing it prayerfully to the Lord. Charlie.